Let's talk Run and Rebel basketball.
If you gave me a choice, my first choice would have been UNLV.
Nice shot, Jalen Poyser. Rebels red hot from outside.
You know, when you go to work every day and you get a chance to hang out with some fine men like this.
Green for a three, and he hits it. Tyrell Green can shoot it.
Makes you feel good about the profession you chose.
Puts it up with the right hand and in. Nice body control by Dwayne Morgan.
Critical to me in the recruiting process that they wanted to be Rebels before they wanted to be pros.
Up ahead, Poyser. Great pass. Slam!
The young fella.
We're excited about the guys we brought in. Really, really passionate guys. You know, guys that love basketball and high character kids.
This is the Marvin Menzies Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network, presented by Findlay Toyota. We'll do anything to sell you a car. The Marvin Menzies Show is also brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located at the 215 in South Rainbow, MGM Resorts International, a proud sponsor of UNLV basketball, and teacher of the game, Findlay Acura, the new definition of luxury, NV Energy, proud sponsor of the Governor's Series, because we're fans too, and by Findlay Volkswagen Henderson and Findlay North Volkswagen Centennial Hills. Now, live from the Bailiwick Gastro Pub inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, alongside Coach Menzies, here are your hosts, Robert Smith and John Sandler.
Welcome once again, Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, this beautiful new establishment, the Gastro Pub, all shiny, bright, and new, and actually getting ready to open day after tomorrow. We are privileged to be in here a little bit before the opening, and the couple of folks who have decided to take a break from all the election stuff and join us down here enjoying themselves as we have our new venue for this year for the Coaches Show. And want to welcome them and welcome you. We'll talk Run a Rebel basketball as the Rebels finish their exhibition, the exhibition portion of the season, with a very, very nice performance and a convincing performance over New Mexico Highlands last week. And now get ready for the season opener against South Alabama. The Jaguars will be here on Friday night at the Thomas and Mack. Robert, I think you and I talked about it in the pregame show. Prior to the New Mexico Highlands game, and the one thing that we wanted to focus on was improvement. How much improvement we were going to see between the Dakota Wesleyan exhibition game and the New Mexico Highlands game, and I think in just about every area there was significant improvement for the Runner Rebels.
No doubt, we saw it defensively, you know, and with them with UNLV forcing 27 turnovers by New Mexico Highlands, and just offensively, you know, once again, I thought a stellar. Showing patience, guys working together, and you saw in the second game, guys were a little more comfortable, you know, with their roles and just running the offense and on the defensive side.
Let's bring in the man for whom this show is named, in. And it's his show, and now he's here. Coach Marvin Menzies joining us. Coach, welcome again, and I know you had to be pleased overall with that improvement between Tuesday and Friday.
I was, but you realize I was already here, right?
Yeah, no, you okay. We were just letting you settle
well,
in.
Well, you said bring me in. I was a little worried about it.
No, you're here.
I'm like, holy boy, you guys been doing this too long. I'm right next to you here. Hey, you know what? The improvement was fantastic. I thought that the guys really bought into the wake-up call that was served to them, you know? There was basically a reckoning, if for lack of a better word, of how bad we played defensively. And no disrespect to Dakota, but it was just we could play much better than that. And then we showed that the next game. And then as you go back and you watch film, you go, boy, okay, we still got a ways to go. So there's a lot to clean up, and especially against this team. And I know we'll get into USA probably here in a little bit,
yeah.
But just looking at some of their actions and things they do offensively with such a experienced team. They start three seniors and two juniors, and they're good. I mean, they do some things really well, and they shoot the ball from multiple positions. So we got to make sure we're there on the catch and we're doing the right things defensively.
What in particular did you like seeing from your team, again, from that transition, the improvement from Tuesday to Friday's games?
Specifically, I thought that just fundamentally we were very bad on, you know, just jumping to the ball. You know, you're guarding the ball. He passes it. You got to jump to the ball, get in the line. And, you know, we just would play huggy face, what I call huggy face. You know, that's, guys have a tendency – to not think team spacing and team defensive principles at times when they get a little nervous or they get a little anxious. And especially with all the freshmen that saw minutes, it was just an opportunity for them to say, I'm going to stop my guy.
Right.
Well, we got to stop their guys. So it's not a battle within the battle so much when you're in defense. Maybe on offense a little bit, but on defense it's more of a collective effort to dictate those guys in the directions you want them to go, and then give them, you know, make them make tough twos, as we like to say.
Does the fact that this is an entirely new group and but for three of them haven't played together at all, does that factor into that as well?
No, not at all. I'm such an excellent coach. I think I have them all in.
Well, you've been coaching them for a couple of weeks now.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, we go way back. You know, this will be a piece of cake.
Okay.
We got a bunch of guys that want to learn. We got a bunch of guys that are embracing the opportunity. You know, a couple of these guys wouldn't be here, to be quite frank, if things didn't unfold the way they did. But I think they know that down deep, and I think what they're doing is taking advantage of it and saying, hey, I want to get better, I want to learn, and I'm going to embrace this opportunity that I have to be a Rebel.
Robert, that team defense concept as a player, it's probably not something that you do a lot in high school. And it's something that you've got to learn all about when you begin that college career, as many of the Runner Rebels have. Talk about some things that maybe that you would think might be challenging for the guys in that concept.
Well, I think the one thing that's challenging for kids is especially when you get to the Division I level, is understanding your job and making sure you're in position so that your teammates can make a play or whatever. You know, like Coach said, a lot of guys think of me instead of let me just get in position so that the other four guys, if they're all in position, then we make it harder on the other team to score or to get anything easy. And it's hard for a young kid to understand that. You know, you'll hear coaches, just like in practice yesterday, coach was hollering at one or two guys because I think they're thinking too much instead of just moving and getting to a spot. And that, you know, they have to understand you got to move. You got move with the ball. When the ball moves, you have to be moving. You can't be still or wait till the ball gets to an offensive player before you decide to make a move. You got to move with the ball.
Coach, that's going to be one of the basic principles you're teaching. Talk about some other basic principles in that defensive scheme.
Well, you know, there's several, but what we're going to focus on is we want to make sure that we're getting deflections. You know, at the University of Louisville, when I was with Coach Pitino, we had a statistic that after 35 deflections and holding a team to, I think, 38 or it might have been 39% or below, if you were able to achieve those two goals, and let me describe a deflection. A deflection would come in the way of a block shot, a back tip, if you chase somebody down behind in a press. A simple deflection. You just, somebody makes a ball and you got a little, you know, a little touch on it.
Right.
Obviously, a steal. A full possession would be a deflection. So there's all types of deflections. But if you got 35 of those and also achieve that percentage, keeping the team's offensive percentage below that, you would win 97.5% of your games. So putting that statistic into play, we have to then translate it into how do we get those deflections. What are the things that you do from a stance, like Robert said, you know, from a stance off the ball? You can't get deflections if you're hugging a man on the other side of the court. So you got to get to the midline. You got to get to the rim. You got to get to the nail. We say get to the nail in the rim when you're on the weak side and the ball has already been established on the strong side. So you get to those places and you have that the proper positioning and stance. Now you give your chance of self to meet that deflection goal. And that's a big one for us. We'll talk about that a lot. By the way, we didn't meet that. We were in the 20s both times on those games, in the exhibition games.
So that's a big number, 35.
It's a big number. That's why the winning percentage is so high. But we had several teams at New Mexico State in the early years where we achieved it at a very high rate because they were very, very cognitive of that goal. And it's just you think about this. Okay, if you're guarding the ball and you understand that we got to get this 35 deflections, if you're guarding that ball, now you're not standing there with dead hands. A lot of these guys guard the ball and they got their hand down. They think, you know, they're locking this guy up. I'm ready to guard him after he decides where he wants to go. Well, that's not what we teach, you know. So we got to have active hands on the ball. If you see a guy with dead hands, I call dead hands on the ball, and his hands are down, he's not helping his teammates out. He might be guarding that guy, but he's not helping his teammates out. So there's all kinds of subtle nuances that go into achieving that goal. So that's a big one. The next one, I think, is just blocking out, you know, defensively getting the point guard involved. You think about this. On offense, your point guard is trained to get back on defense, right?
Right.
So you have an extra man to get in and rebound and hit people and get in the thickness of the battle there in the paint. So many times that point guard on defense wants to leak out, you know, and to start the offense. And, you know, if you get him to be an active rebounder in his own cause and in our cause, then you secure most of those defensive rebounds, not giving up all those offensive rebounds. They had, New Mexico Highlands had 48 shots and had 23 rebounds. Yes. That would have led the United States last year. So obviously that's an area that we had to shore up. And coincidentally, USA is a very aggressive, very, very efficient offensive rebounding team. So just having that occur to us has also done what got their attention.
Sure.
So kind of a long answer, but those are a couple of the key points.
Well, and it was something we talked about after the game with Coach Jeter, that defensive rebounding and was going to be a point of emphasis in practice the next few days. The good thing is that, you know, in the very short amount of time that Robert, you and I have had a chance to watch this team coach, mm-hmm. you've been with this team, the guys seem to really be coachable. They seem to get the concepts, and they seem to be able to apply them, including in-game adjustments.
Right. Well, I thought what they did, not to cut you off, Robert, well, uh-huh. one of the things that I thought they did was, you know, I hired such a phenomenal staff. I didn't know how good they were till we actually got on the floor and started coaching these kids. I'm telling you, Rob Jeter, Eric Brown, Andre LaFleur are three head coaches, even though, you know, Rob has already held the position. Those other two guys, they're head coaches in waiting now.
Right.
So they know how to engage the kids, teach the kids, educate the kids on the floor in a way that strategically they can't do anything but learn. Mm-hmm. If they don't, unless they have to literally be opposing us to not get
educated. Right.
And if they do that, then, you know, then they'll have a different jersey next year that they'll be wearing. So they would take it. You literally have to be fighting the system with the knowledge and experience that we have.
Well, it's impressive. And I mean, one more note before we take our first break. One of the things that happened in the New Mexico Highlands game is that they were starting to get some dribble penetration. And after a timeout, you guys made an adjustment, and all of a sudden, that's really what changed the tenor of that game, is you stopped that dribble penetration, and you got off and running on the offensive end.
We did, and that was, again, them just taking the game, you know, calls and making the right decisions by understanding that they were going to come out of the game if they didn't adjust.
No pressure.
That PT can be a pretty big incentive, can't it?
It's a great, great form of motivation, I can tell you that.
Hey, fans, you could score some extra points with your team. Stop by Firehouse Subs at UNLV. Load up on meaty, cheesy Firehouse Subs before the game. Serve steaming hot and piled high on toasted private recipe sub rolls. Nobody beats their roster. One bite and you're hooked. Firehouse Subs at UNLV on Maryland Parkway, one block north of Tropicana. Come back with more. We'll talk about the offensive end for the Runner Rebels against New Mexico Highlands. When we return, you're listening to the Marvin Menzies Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Inbound pass cross court to Green for a three is good.
Hey, the Canadians are knocking down threes tonight.
You're tuned into the Marvin Menzies Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network, presented by Findlay Toyota. Alongside the coach, here's Robert Smith and John Sandler.
Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and the head coach, Marvin Menzies. As the Runner Rebels get ready for the season opener against South Alabama on Friday night, hope you make your plans to come on out 7 o'clock at the Thomas and Mack. We will be with you. But we're talking about the second exhibition game, primarily the New Mexico Highlands game, and talk a little about the defense. Now, on the offensive end, obviously when Jalen Poyser gets it going the way he did with 21 points, 7 for 10 from the field, and knocking down outside shots really opens up things all over the floor for the Runner Rebels, doesn't it, Coach?
There's no question. Well, it's shot selection, shot selection, and shot selection.
Those location.
those are the three biggies in shooting a high percentage. You know, we have a, I don't know if you call it a game grade. It's not a game grade. What do we call that thing? It's I don't know. We've got so many different tools that we use to you know, share information with these guys. But basically, what we do is we grade a shot from 0 to 5. Okay, so obviously a 5 would be a very, very good shot. So a dunk, a wide open 3 for a 3-point shooter can be a 5.
Right.
So it's not necessarily the proximity to the basket as much as the quality of the shot. So what would be a 0? A turnover, you turn it over, or you take a heavily challenged shot, not a turnover, I'm sorry, like a block shot. So if you go and get your shot blocked, okay, that's a 0, obviously.
A really bad 3 from someone who shouldn't be taking threes?
Right, and at what time of the shot clock? Let's say that somebody who's not a 3-point shooter takes a deep 3 early in the shot clock, you know. Now, that same guy takes it with 2 seconds left on the clock, the same exact shot. Well, obviously, he's not going to get a 0 for that, right? So you factor in different things to give them an understanding what is a good shot, what is a bad shot. So you got to teach them that. You can't say, oh, that's a good shot or that's a bad shot.
Right.
You have to give them definitions of, you know, knowledge as to why it's a good shot and why it's a bad shot.
Mm-hmm.
So we grade them out 0 to 5. Okay, so then you take that, and they get an overall game grade, shot game grade. That's what it is, a shot game grade chart. And so what we'll do is we'll go through and we say that, say, for example, you took, I don't know, 7 shots. Well, what was Jalen? 7 for 10?
7 for 10.
Okay,
yep.
So Jalen goes 7 for 10. The quality of his shots, even though he made the shot, we don't even count whether you make it or miss it. It's all graded on whether it was a high percentage shot or not. So I think anything over a 3.35, if I'm not mistaken, is considered a good game grade score for your shot attempts. So let's say he took 10 shots and was 3 for 10. If he took 10 high quality shots, he still could score, you know, a 3.35
or 3.4. He just had an off night.
Exactly. He had a bad night. But it's the type of shots you're taking more than whether you're making or missing shots. And let's face it, if you're taking good shots, then you're going to end up shooting a higher percentage than not. So that's one of the things that we do as a you know, statistical tool to help them. And they get all into it, you know, and somebody's game grade. And, you know, it's funny. When you collect that data and then you take those games and you start to track that information and you get a sample size that grows, let's say 10 games, 7, 8, 9, 10 games into the season, you start to see a trend.
Yep.
And so those freshmen now, they look and they say, well, man, I only got a 1.9, and I'm not playing much. or I got a 1.9 and I'm not scoring much.
Right.
You know, my shooting percentage is bad. Well, then we're able to point to them and say, well, okay, here's why. Here's one reason why. And there's several other reasons why you might, you know, not be scoring well. But that to us has been a significant development in getting the kids to buy into that was a good shot, that was a bad shot.
How much of that is in sort of entwined in unlearning, getting them away from, however you want to put it, bad habits that they bring to the program, usually from high school?
Well, like a heat check?
Definitely know what a heat check is.
Rob, you know what a heat check is.
Oh, yeah.
Is,
right?
Someone took one the other night.
Yeah, it's Troy did.
I'm going to be honest with you. I never heard of a heat check. I got a guy, Jonathan Gibson. He just signed with Dallas. Actually, he just got cut. He played for me in New Mexico State, but he signed a 3-year contract with Dallas over the summer. And he was a workaholic. I mean, this kid lived in the gym.
Right.
Okay? Actually, Reggie Theus recruited him to New Mexico State before I got there. So he played his freshman year for Reggie, and then he played his last 3 for me. So Jonathan, I mean, he would be in the gym, I'm not kidding you, man, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. the night before a game.
Wow.
So I literally had to go in there one day. This is about, I think it was our second season together, and it was a conference. We were going into our conference final. Not final, first game of our conference tournament. And I had to go into the I got a call from one of the managers and said, Coach, I know you told those guys to get some rest. Well, I don't want to throw Gibb under the bus, but he's in the gym getting up shots. And it was like 2 in the morning. So I drove from my house. I was in Picacho Hills. So I drove 20 minutes to like chew the kid out. You know, I'm upset. And so I get down there, and I go, Gibb, we play tomorrow. What are you doing? This and that and that. And he says, Coach, we don't play till 7. And he's dead serious.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, Coach, I got plenty. I'm going to get 8 hours. Don't worry. I said, okay, Gibb. Hey, and there's a reason he made it on the NBA team.
There you go.
That's
right.
That kind of attitude. Right. But the point I was going to make about that is that's where I learned about a heat check. So Gibb was on fire one game, and we were beating Boise State, and he was just killing them. He was making shots from all over the place. So finally he takes a really bad shot in front of the – front of the bench, and so he ends up falling and getting fouled, and so it was a horrible shot,
right.
And so I'm upset, so I get right into him, and I get in his face. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, my fault, Coach. Heat check. I said, well, don't take any more heat checks. So I turned to my assistant. I said, what the hell's a heat check? So he said, Coach, he was just checking to see if he was hot. I said, oh, Lord, these guys think of everything.
Hey, they come up with some good ones.
Different generation, man. I'm getting old. I don't speak the lingo anymore.
No.
Well, but that, I mean, you bring up a good point. I think it's something that bears some mentioning. We'll talk about it when we come back. We've got to take a break. But communication with the kids.
And no question.
You know, how do you go about making sure that the point gets across?
It's a big adjustment for coaches as well as players.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, for a coach, you have to go along with what's going on.
This will be a fun conversation. We'll get to it in just a moment. Fans, remember, if you're struggling with hip, knee, or shoulder problems, then you need experienced surgeons Dr. Michael Crivetti and Dr. Fred Balduini at Crivetti Orthopedics to get you back in your game. Visit ICanAgain.com today. Back with more Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Terrell backing in, kicks it out to Ofebu, open for a three, and he knocked it down.
He didn't even hesitate on that one.
Welcome back to the Marvin Menzies Show, presented by Findlay Toyota. Here again with the coach, Robert Smith, and John Sandler.
Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, beautiful new gastro pub, actually opens Thursday night. Come on down and check it out. It is really spectacular.
Gastro pub.
Just heard a highlight of Uche Ofebu knocking down a three, and among the players who improved, and I think for him, just looked much more comfortable on last Friday night.
Yeah, because he was forcing everything the first night.
Yeah.
You know, Tuesday he was very aggressive, and so aggressive so that, you know, he was taking bad shots. That's a perfect opportunity, and that's what we did. We said, hey, man, your game grade was horrible.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I know. That's why my results were so horrible. I said, yeah, you got it, right?
Yeah.
So, but what he realized it, and again, you know, this kid's in his fifth year. He's got a little pressure and stress that he's putting on himself. Mm-hmm. And hey, just, man, let it go, bro. Just have fun.
Yeah.
Let's help us win games, enjoy the journey. And then whatever is meant to be is meant to be. I got relationships all over the world. I got 22 of the 30 NBA team, either head coaches or general manager, on speed dial. If you have any opportunity or possibility of going, we'll be able to get you there. You just got to relax and do you. And that's what he did the next game. He just kind of went back to playing his game and did a good job.
But, you know, coaches, a lot of kids, you know, I know my sophomore year here, I was putting pressure on myself because I knew, you know, the point guard position was open and I wanted to go in and prove that, you know, the job was mine and start, you know, forcing shots and doing things you don't normally do.
Right.
Because you're thinking, okay, this is what it's going to take for me to get this job.
You got out of character.
Exactly.
But all you had to do was do you.
Play your regular game.
That's all you got to do.
It's a matter of trusting yourself.
It is.
It's a matter of trusting your coaches.
And your teammates.
Yeah.
You know, because they're part of the equation. When you make a good pass, you want to make sure it turns into an assist from that point guard position.
Right.
And you got to trust that if they're in the position to take a good shot, that they'll take the good shot. And not, if not, then they won't.
Part of building that trust, what we were talking about before we went to break, especially between coaches and players, both directions, is communication.
Right.
And as times change, as people change, priorities change, communication and effective communication can be a real challenge. Yeah. What do you do, Coach? I mean, you communicate with everybody. You come in and you work a room and you talk to everybody and life's beautiful. But in terms of communicating with the kids, do you have to kind of maintain a balance between being funny and buddy and having a fun time and also being able to discipline and you know, timing those things out properly?
That's an excellent question. But before I answer that, I wanna ask Robert, who was the best coach in terms of communicating that you ever played for? Middle school all the way up?
I would probably say Willie West at Crenshaw High School, because Willie, he had a way of getting to you without just like beating you down. He always had this look with me because he knew, you know, he said, you're my point guard. I want you to think like I think on the court. So I want you to be my coach out there. So whenever I did something wrong, I knew it beforehand because when I turned and looked at him, he wouldn't say anything. He just give me that look.
He knew. He knew how to say, I wouldn't do that.
Exactly. but that, you know, that was his way of communicating to me. And I tell a lot of players this. Sometimes you have to be able to adapt, because so many kids, they'll come home and I say, well, why are you back home? Well, coach didn't let me play my game. Coach don't like me. He favors the other guys. And I tell them all the time, I say, well, you know, those other guys have been there 2-3 years. They understand the system. You need to come in and understand the system, because a system's not going to change for you. You have to change to fit that system.
Well, your kid was blessed to have a father.
No
like
doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
You got other fathers that go, well, give me his number. I'm going to call him.
2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Well, I got a couple things now that I'll share with you based off of your original question, John. And the first thing is I joke, but I don't talk to parents about basketball.
Good.
And I let the parents know I don't talk to them about basketball. So when I recruit a kid, I said, don't send your kid here if you think you're going to call me and talk about his game. Because if that's the case, you coach him. Or send them to somebody you think is better than me, because I I'm an expert in that. You know, I don't have an ego, but I know that's what I've been trained to do, and that's what I've studied to do, and I feel pretty confident in doing it. So I'm never going to talk to a parent about minutes or, you know, this is not high school.
No.
Right. You know, so we make that clear. The other thing, to get back to your original question about communication, it's interesting because you ask, can you joke, and what is that balance, and understanding that balance of being a disciplinarian and so forth. You know, my initial years, I tell people, I tried to be Coach Pitino when I was my first couple years as a head coach. And I'm never going to be Coach Pitino. I just have a different demeanor, and I have a different style of coaching. I have a different way of communicating. I've used a lot of what he does basketball-wise. I used his blueprint in several different areas. So I've stole and borrowed and asked and pleaded for some things from him. He came in and talked to our whole staff a couple months ago, and we invited him out, and he's just the best. We could do a whole show on Coach Pitino one day, but you know, not to get too far off track, the point I was going to make is that you have to find who you are, and never stray too far from who you want to be. But you, at the same time, do have to understand the generation you're dealing with. So I'll play with the guys and joke around with them, but not to the degree where they think we're equals. I don't do it in a way where I'll ever demean them. So we'll joke with each other. Well, it'll be collaborative kind of stuff, but I'll never knock another teammate or one of the other teammates to try to get a laugh out of the other ones.
Right.
You just have to be careful on think before you speak, you know. All the lessons we got from our parents growing up, right? And so that's one thing that I do, but I am definitely myself. I don't take myself out of character. Like today, this is kind of revealing as we're talking here, because I thought about how I was at practice today, and I was good. And I know when I'm good, though. You know what I mean?
Don't we all?
Oh, man. You know how you have a show, and you go, man, I wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't think I was that great on that today, you know. but today, like, I was really good.
Uh-huh.
And I know why I was good, because I took out a little time before practice and to get my head right.
Right.
I had made sure I had the information, ingrained as to what we were going to, have as the curriculum, the lessons for the day, so to speak. And so those were solidified in my mind. And so when you know the content, it's very easy to share it. And I think sometimes, we get so busy with media and radio and TV and boosters and it's all the different things that come with being a head coach. It's that time of year right now, though, that I've locked in.
Right.
And so I have certain obligations I have to do, like the radio show I enjoy. But I think that, like right now, my focus right now is getting ready for this game Friday.
Sure.
So last night I'm up late and I'm studying and I'm getting the film down and understanding their personnel, so on and so forth. And then I take time out and I tell my guys all this all the time too. I say, before you step on the practice court, I don't care if it's 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, you say a prayer, you get your head right, you do whatever you need to do, meditate, whatever you need to do, because when the time comes and I'm hitting that floor, you better not have less energy than I have. And I'm gonna bring it every day. so they don't. And if they do, then we make the adjustments to get them where their head needs to be. But I think again, it all comes back down to the communication piece. All comes back down to you understanding that you have to have and maintain your personality throughout. But understand that, you got to stay a little hip. I know who they listen to, and I know what music they listen to. So I steal a line every once in a while from a song, and they look at me like, Coach, how you know about J. Cole? What you know about J. Cole, Coach? Don't worry about me, So they enjoy that, little things like that.
Yeah, that's great. And I think your point is really, really well taken. It applies in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Be true to yourself.
That's right.
I think that is a secret. One of the secrets for succeeding is, be honest with yourself, be true to yourself.
And you have to.
It's the only way to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I think some of the guys, as you said, taking it back all the way back into basketball, some of the guys maybe weren't that way Tuesday. More of them were that way Friday, and I think it showed.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. There was a lot of guys because of the situation, the environment, and the conditions took them out of their game a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
well, we will get back into the game, talk a little bit about the guys, and start to talk about South Alabama, the Rebels' opponent on opening night, Friday night, 7 o'clock at the Thomas & Mack in our next segment. Fans, remember that Boyd Gaming is all about rodeo, NASCAR, and entertainment. Visit BoydEvents.com. You are listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Johnson has it stolen by Baxter. Baxter with a breakaway. Baxter slam. Young!
Tell you what, his defense is making his offense.
You're tuned into the Marvin Menzies Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network, presented by Findlay Toyota. Alongside the coach, here's Robert Smith and John Sandler.
Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Robert Smith, head coach Marvin Menzies. Rebels getting ready for South Alabama, the Jaguars here Friday night, 7 o'clock tip at the Thomas & Mack. Coach, we've got a couple of questions on the Twitter line want to get to before we dive into the Jags. Question from Craig Campbell asking how Shekna and Dwayne Morgan are doing health-wise.
Great question. Next question.
Okay. Good. All right. Enjoy that.
I'll actually answer that. Both of them are getting some great rehab, and now they're also involved in practice at a limited participation. They're not doing full contact stuff, but they are doing what we call skeleton work, so they're up to speed on all of our sets offensively and our defensive principles and so forth. So they won't be, obviously too far behind. And they're doing a lot of conditioning stuff due to their specific type of injuries. They're still able to, get out and work out and do some things from cardio perspective, both in the pool and low impact stuff. So they'll be ready to roll as much as physically possible. Maybe not game shape, but when they do get healthy, we want them to be right. And we don't want to rush it. It's a long season, so we want to make sure we're cautious in bringing them back so we do it the right way.
All right. Hopefully you read between the lines and all that.
Yeah, I don't even. I'm not quite where I should say it. Right. They started bringing food up here.
There you go. That's right. We got grub coming up.
I'm looking at chicken wings. I don't know. What did I say anyway?
I didn't cuss, did I? No, no. You're perfect. Biff wants to know about the depth of the rotation, and I know that's something that's sort of organic and happens.
Yeah, it's, you know, the rotation is always going to be a moving target early in the year. Based on the fact that, you know, you're still finding yourself a little bit. I think I'm ahead of the game, you know, with the Bahamas trip and so forth. I think we're ahead of the game a little bit in terms of understanding, you know, who's actually going to maybe get first opportunities in our first 8-9 guys. You got to remember we have, you know, a couple quality walk-ons who are grinding every day. You've got a couple young guys that you know, we were actually anticipate maybe redshirting one or two of them, and they kind of know their role. There's also Jordy Johnson, who's a point guard who can't play this year. Those guys are still – he's still on scholarship. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of happened naturally, and which is great. I think that we're ahead of the curve a little bit in that area based on the fact that we had the early practices and the early opportunity that was granted to us by the RRC, our Running Rebels Club, and you know, providing that trip to the Bahamas, that really did help us.
I think you can see that, Robert. You and I talked about it,
right?
Especially in the half court offense.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Bit ahead of the curve.
Well, and that was going to be one of my questions tonight, was how much did the Bahamas trip help you? And evidently, it helped out a lot.
You know what it did, Robert? It's funny. People were asking me that before we started practice. Uh-huh. You know, you kind of speculate a little bit, right? But you really don't know.
No, you don't know.
It's like being a head coach. Every assistant coach in the country thinks they're ready to be a head
coach. That's right.
Trust me, you guys don't know yet.
Until you get on that hot seat.
You don't know what you don't know.
Man, oh, Shevitz. I mean, my first couple years as a head coach, I probably was the most ignorant person on the planet. And I worked for Lon Kruger. I worked for Steve Fisher. Exactly. I worked for Henry Bibby. I worked for Rick Pitino. You know, I worked for a legendary coach in California, John McMullen.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a resume.
Do you throw that out on the floor? How'd that work out?
Right.
That first year was a doozy, you know.
Like drinking water out of a fire hose.
Oh man, let me tell you, it's tough. It's tough. But it's what do they say, that 18 inches you slide over is equivalent to a mile.
That's right.
But with that being said, you know, at the end of the day you figure it out. You know, you figure it out.
Well, and one more question from Twitter before we take our next break. And this comes from Cameron. You coach with Fish, you coach with Lon, you coach with Pitino. In terms of defense, because the question has to do with, are you going to use both a man and a zone? Are you going to mix it up? What did you learn specifically? What did you learn in general defensive philosophy from those guys?
Oof.
Because they're all great defensive coaches.
Yeah, that's a tough, that's a long answer. So I'll give you the Cliff Notes version, the abbreviated version. What do we used to say?
Reader's Digest.
The Reader's Digest version, yeah. I would date myself if I use that answer,
man.
Though.
Yeah.
Cliff Notes I can get away with.
I'm so dated, it doesn't matter.
The Reader's Digest still exists? I don't even know. They still have it?
It's still around.
It's probably online. It's about 4
Oh, yeah, just like everything else.
Yeah, no question. But you can digest a little bit quicker now, I guess. I'm sorry, what was the question? No, I'm just kidding. No, what I got from those guys was, it is a mix of defenses that we will use. In coaching circles, you know you have to learn man-to-man first.
Yep.
You've heard it 1,000 times that you have to be able to embrace man-to-man principles defensively before you can be a good zone team. Yep. So I say that, and you look at Jim Boeheim, and all he teaches is zone. So there's more than one way to skin a cat. Yeah. But I do believe that. I do believe that as we lay out the defensive game plan for the season, we've had to place an emphasis on teaching man-to-man.
Gotcha.
Because you got defensive transition. You got all these things that are involved in man-to-man. So as we've done that, we have sprinkled in some zone, sprinkled in some full court presses, you know, sprinkled in some things. And now as we're getting closer to actual games, we're narrowing down what we like that matches our personnel.
There you go. Right.
See, that's the key.
What
the
works.
What works. Okay, so, well, let's say you run a 1-3-1 or your 2-3 or whatever, and that's who you are, and that's just what it is. Well, then you better recruit that way.
Exactly.
Yep. I didn't have that luxury.
See, you had to get, I don't know, bodies, players?
It is. Hello. He's pretty good. Can we get him? Well, what offense do you run? Don't worry about that. Can we get him?
Yeah. We'll get that. We'll find that out later.
I'll tell you one thing I do pride myself on is adjusting to the talent that we have. Mm-hmm. In New Mexico State, we were very successful at putting a system in that complemented the strengths of our players.
Right.
So, for example, there was the Bular brothers, Sim and Tanvir, 7'5 and 7'3. Chalizi Napawe, 6'11. Jonathan Wilkins, 6'11. We've had several footers that I wasn't going to turn down at New Mexico State.
Right.
I don't know that I would have recruited all of them to UNLV with the style of play that we wanted. And it's funny when people, you know, you listen to the chatter. Sometimes I'm not a big social media guy in terms of listening to it. I'm not a big media guy in terms of listening to it when the season begins. Mm-hmm. You know, I am intrigued by the different people's writing styles and so forth in the off season. But once the season begins, I very rarely read an article. No, don't get upset with me, Mark or Ed Graney or whoever else is out there. But I just think I know more than them.
I'm sure you do.
So I'm not going to go out. You know, if I'm a senior in high school, I'm not going to go back to the ninth grade and engage myself in conversation with that guy. So no, I love those guys. They're obviously good at what they do. But my point is, as you look at your program and you look at what you want to do, you have to have a real philosophical approach to it. Mm-hmm. So you can't take a system and recruit to it at certain levels, low majors, mid majors. You got to get the best players, and then you have to adjust. Mm-hmm. Here, you can recruit to how you want to play.
You get to choose.
Yeah, I get to choose. Now, I didn't have that luxury, you know, at this first season, timing-wise. But I think we did get as close to how I want to play with who we picked. And I think going forward, it'd get even better.
Well, it starts on Friday night, and we'll talk about the Jaguars, the opponent. When we come back, fans, remember that MGM Resorts International, proud to support and sponsor the Teacher of the Game, an awards program designed to honor outstanding Clark County school teachers, a longtime supporter of public education. MGM Resorts congratulates this year's honorees and wishes the Runner Rebels a winning season. Back with more Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel IMG Sports. Johnson has his pass stolen by Poyser. Poyser is going to wind up, and Whitfield slam dunk!
Whoa!
Welcome back to the Marvin Menzies Show, presented by Findlay Toyota. Here again with the coach, Robert Smith, and John Sandler.
The good folks here at Bailiwick have brought us some food, and all of a sudden we're popular.
Right. we got people coming out of the lobby to get...
you know what? It's a combination, coach.
You're definitely
the leading factor. All right, Jaguars, South Alabama, Friday night, 7 o'clock tip, season opener. Four top scorers back for South Alabama, well-coached, and a team that will pose a variety of challenges for the Runner Rebels.
Mm-hmm. No question. They have they've got, like I mentioned at the top of the show, they have a lot of experience with starting three seniors, two juniors, a couple experienced guys come off the bench. But I tell you what they do is they play together, man. They really do. They do a good job of running their stuff. Their offensive system is very hard to guard. You know, you have to plan for it because they screen for each other. They do a good job of screening. They do a good job of reading the counters. So if you, for example, if you're guarding them in the low block and you get on the high side, they wedge you up and they throw that lob pass. If you get down beneath them, you know, they really sink you in and duck you in very well. So their post players are undersized, but they're strong and physical, and they do a good job. And they shoot the ball from multiple positions. You know, much like the junior college teams that we had, not junior college, but the exhibition games that we played. Right. They shot it from multiple positions.
how much does execution and knowing each other and coordination, how much does that overcome any discrepancy in talent?
You know, it helps. I think that scouting is important to steal a few plays. You know, you could always, if you do a good job, you can go get yourself 8-10 points. But at the end of the day, the core of who you are is going to win out. And that's why you got to have better players. Because I don't care what you draw up. At the end of a play, guys got to be able to make shots. Yep. Guys got to be able to go get a bucket, so to speak. And those are just the things that make the elite teams, you know, great.
Robert, you got six freshmen on this team. You got a couple of JUCO kids who are going to be playing their first real D1
right,
game.
Right.
How concerned would you be, and from what you've seen this far, about maybe nerves? I know they've played a couple of exhibition games, but it's real now.
Yeah, well, there's a big concern, but, you know, I think with the coaching staff, their biggest thing right now is to get the guys to buy into what we've been working on.
Well, and thus far, I don't think that's been an issue, the buy-in.
No.
There's a difference between buy-in and executing, you know, getting it and executing.
Right,
but
right.
The buy-in doesn't seem to have been a problem.
Not at all. I think that all the guys understand that we have their best interests at heart. We're very candid with them about their professional careers. We're very candid with them about their expectations or curtailing their expectations for this year. We as the kids say, we keep it 100.
You know? There you go.
And they respect that.
Yep.
You know, they respect that. I think that's a big part of it.
All right, let's take our final break, come back, and with a final word, the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick Inside the Orleans on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. All right, back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and the head coach, Marvin Menzies. Runner Rebels getting ready for the season opener, South Alabama, Friday night at the Thomas & Mack. Coach, what are you most excited about for Friday night? What's a concern for Friday night?
Well, I'm most excited before Friday for the wings in front of me.
They're pretty good.
Holy smokes. I'll tell you what, when this broadcast is over, I'm going to dive into the rest of these things.
He's been one-handed. I have a feeling it's going to be two-hands when we're done.
All drums, well done, baby. That's the way to get it in. Extra hot on the side. All right, what are we talking about? Oh, Friday.
Yeah,
Friday.
Remember Friday. The thing you've been prepared for,
that's
right?
Right. That's right. You know, with the way this team is prepared and the makeup and the dynamics, and when I say this team, USA, I think, you know, the key is going to be for us is to concentrate on us. We'll obviously be prepared and scouted, have them scouted and so forth, but at the end of the day, this is another opportunity for us to grow and emphasize on doing what we do. The old John Wooden, you know, school of thought of just concentrating on yourself and letting the rest come to be. So we will do that and take another step in our progression and see how well the guys embrace the information from last week against New Mexico Highlands and to Friday.
Robert, what are you excited about?
Well, I'm excited to see how they handle a little more pressure, you know, and just to see how the guys execute. That's the biggest thing, execution. Mm-hmm.
New Mexico, check that, South Alabama on Friday night at 7 o'clock. The season opener will be on the air at 6:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. That's going to do it for us here at Bailiwick. We'll be back next Thursday, I believe, here at Bailiwick. For Robert, for Sean, for Randy back in our IMG Network studios, and most of all for Coach Marvin Menzies, John Sandler saying thanks for listening. Talk to you Friday night at the season opener. Have a good evening, everybody. Thank you, buddy.
You've been listening to the Marvin Menzies Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network, presented by Findlay Toyota. We'll do anything to sell you a car. Tune in each week for more insight into your Runnin' Rebels. The Marvin Menzies Show is also brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located at the 215 in South Rainbow, MGM Resorts International, a proud sponsor of UNLV basketball, and Teacher of the Game, Findlay Acura, the new definition of luxury. NV Energy, proud sponsor of the Governor's Series, because we're fans too. And by Findlay Volkswagen Henderson and Findlay North Volkswagen Centennial Hills. The Marvin Menzies Show is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.